Thank you all for joining us this evening. And of course to Rabbi Rice for arranging this for all of us, for the entire community, and for inviting me to participate. I think that it's a very important event, and particularly this year, that such an event takes place is crucial and really something that has to frame not only this specific evening, but has to be a paradigm shift, I believe, for our entire community and a lot of things that we are accustomed to. And actually, I wanted to take the time to speak about that in particular and why I think that this is so important, that events like this are so important, both to show ourselves, to show the community, and in terms of our own development. We know that there's a famous machlekes harishonim, a debate amongst the rishonim when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillah. The mitzvah of tefillah, no doubt, is one of the mainstays of our religious lives. We're mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam three times a day, and that is a very central piece. It's a focal point of our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. However, we know that this concept of tefillah is actually a subject to a big machlokes harishonim, whether the concept exists on a biblical level, whether it exists midin de'araisa. Is there a notion, is there a concept of tefillah mid-araisa? Does tefillah exist mid-araisa? We're familiar with the fact that the Rambam certainly counts the mitzvah of tefillah. Ezehu avoida shebelev. What is the avoida shebelev? Zehu tefillah. The Rambam holds that it is a mitzvah de-araisa to be mispalel. Whereas the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Ramban tells us that there is no mitzvah of tefillah mid'araisa. It may seem that there's a mitzvah from the Gemaras throughout Shas, but they are all, says the Ramban, asmachta be'alma. They are merely a dinder abanan, with the Chazal bringing support from various psukim. And this is, generally speaking, in a normal tkufa, in a normal year, this is how we would present this machlekes rishon. However, this is not exactly accurate. There is no machlekes rishonim whether the din of tefillah, whether the mitzvah of tefillah is mida araisa. Kulei alma moidu, everyone agrees that there is a mitzvah of tefillah mida araisa. Both the Rambam and the Ramban agree that mida araisa, there is a concept of being mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But that concept of tefillah exists be'esara, in a scenario the likes of which we are living, experiencing right now. The Ramban, when he takes issue with the Rambam, is quite clear. The Ramban says there's a pasuk in the Torah, v'chisavayu milchama be'artzachem ala tzara tzorer eschem, v'arayoyisim b'chatzoytzoyis in his kartun lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. The mitzvah al kol tzara v'tzara shetovel al atzibor litzoik lefonov b'tfilah. According to the Ramban, the chiyuv mid'araisa of tefillah is b'chol tzara v'tzara. When Klal Yisrael is engaged experiencing a tzara, most notably the tzara that the psukim themselves are talking about, the tzara of milchama, there's a mitzvah litzoik la'Hashem. And the Rambam agrees with this, as is clear in Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam says there's an additional mitzvah of tefillah, that we could debate. But the mitzvah of tefillah that exists be'ez tzara, the mitzvah of tefillah that exists be'ez milchama, kulei alma moidu, is a din de'araisa. We gather together to say Tehillim, we are being mekayim and mitzvah saseh de'araisa, lefi the Ramban, you daven shachris this morning, it was a din de'rabanan. You gather b'tzibur to say Tehillim, you're mekayim a din de'araisa. And what is the nature of this machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban? Whereas the Rambam sees that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of tefillah on a deraisa level. The Ramban says that the mitzvah of tefillah midaraisa is only be'ez sara. This certainly is born out of a very conceptual and important understanding, a deeper understanding of the mitzvah of tefillah in general. We're familiar with the fact that the Gemara throughout Bracha seems to bring different notions, different concepts of tefillah. The Gemara often will say, tefillah is keneged avos tiknu. Avram was misakin shachris, Yitzchak was misakin mincha, Yaakov was misakin arvis. On the other hand, we know that there's a man da omar, that tefillah is keneged karbonos tiknu. And you'll be surprised to know, says the Aris HaMeach, that the Rambam somehow brings both of these. The Rambam brings both the din of tefillah is keneged karbonos tiknu, but he also brings in Hilchas Melachim, tefillah keneged avos tiknu. Says Rav Meir Simcha, doesn't it seem to be a stira? But certainly what the Rambam is indicating to us is that there are two dinim in tefillah, as the Gemara itself is clear. There's a din in tefillah, the formal obligation of davening, Ezehu avoydeh shebelev, keneged karbonos tiknu. And then there's a separate din of tefillah, of a person who's crying out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachamim Ninhu. Two dinim of tefillah. There's one keneged avois, that's the bakoshas rachamim. And there's one keneged karbonois, that is the din, the formal legislated din of tefillah every single day. And there could be nafkaminas between these two. As the Magen Avraham points out, tefillah keneged karbonos tiknu is very time-oriented. A woman lichoira would be peturois from that, as it's a mitzvah saseh shez man grama. When it comes to keneged avos tiknu, kule boy rachamim. Everyone needs rachmanis. It's an essential part of our spiritual lives. This is what defines us as spiritual beings, our bakoshas rachamim from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, women obviously would be mechuyavos in such a tefillah. Two dinim of tefillah, the Rambam and the Ramban debate on a deraisa level whether there's a concept of tefillah's keneged karbonos tiknu. But kule amo moidu, everyone agrees that there is a notion of tefillah tirei hayoim in the constant, in the scenario that Klal Yisrael exists right now. We have a unique mitzvah midaraisa, which perhaps many of us have never had before in our lives. And that's a clear mandate from the Psukim in the Torah, that we're obligated be'ais milchama, v'chisavayu milchama be'artzichem. There's a new mitzvah of tefillah be'ais sara. Men, women, children, everyone. Klal Yisrael's be'ais sara, we call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how we respond. I think that it's very important to delve a bit deeper into this, because I think sometimes, Rabbi Yisai, especially over the last recent months, we here in America, who don't have the zechus of fighting in Eretz Yisrael, of defending mamish on the front lines, we often hear from our rabbis, our rabbanim, different speakers, I'm guilty of the same thing, that we have to do our part. We have to do our part. We have to be Hakol Kol Yaakov. We have to engage in the Beis Medrash. And sometimes I believe we misunderstand what this means. And we understand, you know, this is like to make us feel that we're part of it. A zechus, we'll do a zechus. Hopefully it will help a soldier fighting in Gaza. And while that's certainly true, I believe that this is missing the boat entirely. It's misunderstanding what we are engaged in a foundational, fundamental, essential way right now. And it could be tragic making such an error if we don't realize the magnitude of responsibility. When we say that we're engaged in the battle, it's not to make us feel good. It's because it's an awesome responsibility. And quite frankly, I don't know many of you, excuse me for saying this, but to think, and I hope it's not true, but to think that there are many, many from Yidden that were willing to take off hours tonight for Dvarim Shel Mabikach, even if in any other year we could consider this something appropriate, how we do it this year is beyond me. And that is why I think this year in particular, we ought to take a step back and ask ourselves some very, very important questions. But let's take a step back, and I want to fully develop where I think we're standing right now in history and what I think our particular avodah is. And I hope it will inform our avodas Hashem going forward. We just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Adar. Purim's coming up. We have to double Adar this year and Ibriyar. Purim's coming up. Now, we all know that the two dinin, the two yomim toivim midir abonon, of course, Chanukah and Purim, are celebrated very, very differently. It should be somewhat surprising, but like many things in Yahadus, we're exposed to it so early that we forget to become surprised by that. The fact that Chanukah is purely a spiritual Yom Tif, I know that we've recently turned it into a Yom Tif of donuts, but for the most part, there is no chiv on Yom Tif of Chanukah to eat donuts or anything else for that matter. Mitzvah laharbeis, the Ramah says. When it comes to Purim, it's quite the opposite. When it comes to Purim, it's almost purely physical indulgence. How do we have two Yomim Toivim, both created from the same Chazal, both seemingly products of a very similar story, like that old joke goes, they wanted to kill us, we were saved, and we eat. But it's not true. On Purim we eat, on Chanukah we don't. Chanukah is lahadis ulahalel. So why the difference in approach in terms of celebration? So stark, so glaring. Many of us would prefer if on Chanukah we had 8 days of Adar lo yoda. Hopefully more of us would prefer if on Purim we had a day of lahadis ulahalel. But why the difference in approach? So this question is really the question of the Bach. And the Bach says, you're asking the question too late. Really, you have to ask an earlier question. And that is, not why we're celebrating Chanukah and Purim differently, Bizman Azen, Tov Shin, Pei Dalit, but why Bizman, the story of Chanukah and Purim, did the Jews respond differently? We have very different responses when it comes to the Chashmonaim. In Yavon, the Chashmonaim take up arms and they go to the battlefield. We have no such sense in the Megillas Esther. After the Yeshua, they go to battle. But the immediate reaction to the Tzara is not to go fight. The immediate reaction is Sak v'Efer. Tzaka, ze'aka, tzumu alai v'tzumu aleichem. Why the difference in approach? Why when it came to Purim, Mordechai and Esther took a spiritual approach, if you will, to our tzara? When it came to Chanukah, Chazal clearly thought that was more appropriate was a spiritual approach. Comes Rav Elchanan Wasserman and suggests the following very, very difficult a concept to understand. And he suggests that there's a difference in approach depending on what the persecution is. If the persecution is a spiritual persecution, as it was in the time of Chanukah, so then the approach has to be one of Mesiras Nefesh. We take up arms and we go to fight, even at risk of losing our lives. If the approach of the persecution wasn't a spiritual persecution, but was a physical persecution as it was the time of Haman, Lahashmid, Laroig, La'abed, so then the response is going to be Tsumu Alai, almost counterintuitive. If they're coming out after our religiosity, if they're coming after our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlom, says Rav Elchanan, then we go to fight, we go to battle. If they're coming after our physical bodies, lahashmi laroig la'abed, so then we turn to the Rebbeinu Shlom. But I'd like to take it tonight a step deeper to try to understand this difference in approach. Because if Chazal during the time of the Chanukah story took one approach, and during the story of Purim took another approach, it wasn't circumstantial. It means they understood b'chachmasam ha-gedoyla that there's different responses at different times. And that's something that is a lesson for us going forward through this lengthy, lengthy galus. When we're attacked, how do we respond? Do we respond by taking up arms, by fighting? Do we respond by turning to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Or do we respond with both? But what's the focus? So to understand this difference in Chanukah and Purim, how Klal Yisrael responded, we have to take a step even further back and understand something more basic. And this is a comment of the Vilna Gaon, which is a watershed comment that opens up entire realms, entire ideas throughout Shas, throughout Nach. Something important to understand. Something also which should be glaring to us, but unfortunately so often we overlook these things. We all know when it comes to the Yom Tov of Sukkot, there are lots and lots of karbonos. This is part of the Kriyas HaTorah that we recite over Sukkot. We're all familiar with the Kriyas HaTorah. Many, many karbonos over the course of Sukkot. 70 karbonos keneged ayin umas ha'olam. We're all familiar with the fact. Says the Vilna Gaon, take a quick look at the psukim, and you'll notice something absolutely startling. The karbonos every single day differ in amount, but the animals are exactly the same. It's just the number of animals differ. Yet when the Torah describes the animals, on days 1, 2, and 4, it refers to the sheep as the Seir Izim, the goat. When it comes to days 3, 5, and 6, all of a sudden the Seir Izim turns into Seir. Within one parsha, says the Vilna Gaon, Seir Izim Echad Chatas Mulvad Alas HaTamid, that's day 1. Ubiyoim hashini, usi'ir izim. Ubiyoim hashlishi, si'ir chatos. Ubiyoim harevi'i, si'ir izim. Biyoim hachamishi, si'ir chatos. Biyoim hashishi, si'ir chatos. What's going on over here? The same exact animal, the same exact halachas, the same exact yomtiv. And the Torah is sometimes referring to it as si'ir, and sometimes referring it to it as si'ir izim. Says the Vilna Gaon, in this nuance, is hidden a yisoid for Jews throughout the Doris. And he quotes a Zohar. And the Zohar tells us Seir and Seir Izim refer to different koichos hatum, different koichos, different nations that represent Ra. Because all of the Zayin Umois HaOilam, he says, aren't really 70 distinct Umois HaOilam. All of the 70 Umos HaOilam could be broken down into two major categories, Yishmol and Esav. These are Klal Yisrael's two foes throughout the ages. Every Golos, every one of the Zion Umos is really just a derivative of either Yishmol or of Esav. And the Zohar says, throughout the Torah, Seir Izim, we even reference this a few times in many of the piyutim we say in different slichas, Seir Izim is always referring to Yishmol. Seir is always referring to Esav. And therefore, Seir Izim, there have to be 35, and Seir, there have to be 35. Because if we're bringing these karbonos keneged the ayin umos ha'olam, and the ayin umos ha'olam are really just two umos ha'olam, so then 35 karbonos keneged Yishmael, and 35 karbonos keneged Esav. Yishmael and Esav. That is the entire realm of Umo Yisraelam, and that sums up every single persecution, says the Vilna Gaon, that has taken place against Klal Yisrael from the beginning of time, Ad Bias Goyel Tzedek, Yishmal and Esav. And he says, but we have to understand the differences between these two Koiches Hatom, these two Umois, and everything they represent, and how they attack Klal Yisrael. When Yishmal attacks Klal Yisrael, Yishmal is attacking Klal Yisrael from their perspective. You know what the perspective of Yishmal is? You're not Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak is not really the son of Avram Avinu. It's clear Rashi al HaTorah. Hagar and Yishmal argued that Yitzchak was the son of Avimelech. The entire purpose of the Akedah was that Yishmael said, I did my bris at 13. I should take the place of Yitzchak. And therefore, that's what caused Yitzchak to have to be brought on the Akedah. And guess what they do in Islam? Who was brought as the Akedah? Yishmael was brought. Why is the Akedah the center? Because the entire focal point of Yishmael is Klal Yisrael doesn't exist. They're not even B'nai Avram. They don't argue with our hashkafa, our emunah, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They agree with all of that. They argue that we're the chosen people. And therefore their koyach comes gufa from the strength of their emunah. I'll read to you words in Rav Moshe Shapiro that frighten me every time I read them. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, Va'uma hachazaka biyoyser. The nation which is the greatest, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichrono Livracha, the nation which is the absolute greatest, be'emuna be'boirei ha'olam. When I read these, I thought I was misreading it. Ha'uma hachazaka biyoyser be'emuna be'boirei olam u'be'manig zehu ha'uma shel b'nei Yishmael she'em chayim biyachad be'emuna, they live with emuna. It's real to them. They're willing to give up life for their emunah. Says Rav Moshe, who knows if we're living up to the standards of emunah that B'nai Yishmal have. Their koyach is not a rejection of the Borei Olam. On the contrary, their koyach is to embrace their emunah in their Borei Olam and a rejection of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to Esav, it's exactly the opposite. Esav's are melchama, Esav's fight, Esav's battle is not with Klal Yisrael as much as it's with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Esav is Amalek, Sofek. So we have two foes, two adversaries, two enemies. And they attack us at different points. One attacks the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and as a derivative of that, the Rabbeinu Shalom's people. Esav would be fine with us as long as we stop talking about God. Just do what we do, and Esav would be fine. Why do they kill us? Because we won't stop talking about God. But the real battle is with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yishmael is exactly the opposite. Yesh lahem emunah chazaka biyoyser mikoy leumois. They love the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the gives them their koyach. They think that we aren't B'nai Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. B'nai Avram. They think Yishmael is the one. These are the koyach of Yishmael is their emunah. The koyach of Esav is their kfira. Says the Vilna Gaon, kol ha'Torah kula is changed with this perspective. I'll give you an example. This past week's parsha, Parshas Yisro, 2 weeks ago, Bereshit is giving the Torah. What does the Torah say? The end of the Torah, first he goes to all the umos ha'olam. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Medrash doesn't say he goes to all the Umas Ha'olam. It says he goes to all the Umas Ha'olam. Then it says he goes, Vizarach Miseir Lamoy, Haifiyah Mehar Parah. What happened to all the other Umas Ha'olam? Because there are only really two.
V'zorach meseir lamo, Esav and Yishmael. That includes all the Umas Ha'olam. And what does he offer? The Torah, and what's Esav's response? Maksiv bey. And what does he say to them? Lo sirtzach. Why? Because Esav's Achilles heel, Esav's tachlis is to reject the Rabbeinu Shalom. Esav's midah, says the Goyen, is a midah of gaiva. Which leads, of course, to rejection of the Rabbeinu Shalom and rejection of fellow man. Gaiva leads to lo sirtzach. That's their Achilles heel. Hoifia mehar para mepara Yishmael. They ask Mike Sivbe. All of a sudden, we don't say lo sirtzach, we say lo sinof. Why? Because their problem is not gaiva, says the Vilna Gaon. Their problem is they believe, full-fledged, they have no problem, they can make space for the Rabbeinu Shalom. What gets them, and where they get Klal Yisrael, is taiva. It's either gaiva or taiva, says the Gaon. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom says lo sinof. They say, lo sinof, that's how we're going to bring Klal Yisrael down. It's not for us. V'zorach meseir lomoy, hefia mehar para. Everything. Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, we don't have time to go into now. The Vilna Gaon says, all ra in the world is broken down into Yishmael and Esav. When Klal Yisrael needs to defend themselves against Yishmael, our defense is very different than when we need to defend ourselves against Esav. And here we'll begin to see patterns through Jewish history. Because when we need to defend ourselves against Yishmael, the defense is not going to be one of taking up arms. Because Yishmael's koyach against us is in their philosophy, their emun in the Rabbeinu Shel. And that's what needs chizak. Poras Achashverosh is an extension, says the Ramban al Torah, of course, of Poras is Yishmael. And therefore, the story of Purim, Klal Yisrael fell to a gezito an avoto a yetzahara, not of gaiva, but a yetzahara of tremendous taiva, oichlin v'shoysin kedoivim. Because the story of Purim was a story of taiva, was a story of falling to Yishmael. And when we fall to Yishmael, that means Yishmael's koyach is an indictment on us, and it's time not to take up arms. What the Rebbeinu Shem wants to see is Vayizak El Hashem, Tzumu Alai. The story of Chanukah, Yavon, says the Ramban al Torah. Yavon gave birth to Edom. Yavon and Edom are the same koyach, the Gemara Megillah. Italia shall Yavon zuroimi. Yavon is Edom. And therefore, when they attack us, our response, of course, is spiritual. There's no doubt the Chashmonaim engaged in Torah and Tefillah. But first and foremost, it has to be Mesiras Nefesh. It has to show the whole tachlis of Esav and Amalek is to say there's nothing beyond what exists in this world. And therefore, to fight them, we have to be willing to give up this world, be Moiser Nefesh, to proclaim the reality, the existence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Klal Yisrael's response depends if the koyach is coming mitzad Yishmael or mitzad Esav. And that's what the Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar says about Tovshin Pei Dalet. Says the Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar, Yishmael shenemar v'karasa Yishmael Yishmael v'lama nikra Yishmael Yishmael. Why is he called Yishmael? Yishmael has strong emuna. Yishmael has koyach atfila. Yishmael lives in the Rabbeinu Shem. Avraham Avinu says it. Lu Yishmael b'ni yichya lefanecha. So why is he called Yishmael? Sect the Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar she'osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu lishmoya b'kol nakas ha'ami masha asidim b'nei Yishmael lasoy. You know why they're called Yishmael? Not because the Rabbeinu Shalom listens to them, because the only way to escape their grip and their grip will be the most difficult, says the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Hakosha shebekulon. And Mashiach ben David is not coming until we escape their grip. But the only way to escape it is to call out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, as David HaMelech says, Yishmakel v'ya'anim. Yishmal, Yishmakel v'ya'anim. The reason his name is Yishmal is not because of their koyach hatfila, because he forces us to find our koyach hatfila. Because that's how we respond to Yishmal. Respond to Esav with his shtadlus, as Yaakov Avinu did. And we respond to Yishmol with Torah, Tefillah, Yishmakel, V'ya'ane. That's why the Goyin writes in this past week's Parsha, Parsha's Mishpotim, Nase v'nishma, says the Goyin, very cryptically, Nase k'neged Esav, as you would expect by now, I hope, Nishma k'neged Yishmol. What does Nasa and Nishma have to do with Yishmol Esav? Because the koyach of Yishmol is the Nishma, the Emunah, the Betochin, and the Rebbeinu Shel. The koyach of Esav is the Nasa, the Asiyas Mitzvahs, the willing to bring the Rebbeinu Shel into this Olam HaMaisa. There's one problem, Rabbi Yisai. I've just, tonight, so far, I've done one thing, and that's repeat the Vilna Gaon. My book, that's a success. Vilna Gaon. It was worth the price of admission. You got a Vilna Gaon? Gevaldik. Everything I said tonight is at least hinted to in the Vilna Gaon. There's one major problem. I'm arguing to you that all ra, all evil, all golos is either Esav or Yishmael. I understand Esav. Daniel tells us the Dalit Golius. Daniel tells us that there are going to be four golosin that Klal Yisrael experience. And one of them, the final one, the one that we can't seem to get out of, is Edom. If you're telling me that the corollary to Esav is Yishmol, where is golos Yishmol? Nowhere do we see golos Yishmol. You're telling me, Vilna Gaon, that this is one of the shayroshim of Klal Yisrael's tsar. A shayrish of tzar is Esav, and the other equal shayrish of tzar is Yishmol. Why is there no golos Yishmol? And how powerful that question is in Tavshin Pei Dalit. No golos Yishmol, Daniel? This doesn't warrant its own golos? This question is so powerful that it almost coerced the Ibn Ezra to change his whole Havana of Sefer Daniel, and he actually identifies the final Golos as Golos Yishmol. Says the Ramban, he made a grave, grave mistake. Ramban says, I understand it. The amount he suffered based on Yishmol, I would have also changed it. But there's no Golos Yishmol. It's Golos Edom. But why is there no Golos Yishmol? This is a question that the Maharal gives tremendous, tremendous attention to. And I'd like to focus on one of his answers. His answers are not mutually exclusive. Whichever answer you take, I believe what we are going to present tonight is a chelik of it. And it's something that I believe, unfortunately, we could appreciate perhaps better than we were ever able to appreciate before. Why is there no Golos Yishmol if Yishmol is the Shoresh of Ra? Explains the Maharal. You are correct that Yishmol is the second Shoresh of Ra, just like Esav. There's Seir and there's Seir Ezim. And it could all be broken down into Seir and Seir Ezim, like the Goyin said. But there's a major difference between Yishmol and Esav. Just look at the Torah, Doisha. When it comes to Esav, the Torah refers to the families of Esav as Aluf. We all know those psukim we read through very quickly. Aluf, Aluf, Aluf. We never see this word Aluf when it comes to the descendants of Yishmol. The maximum they get to is Nasi. Says the Maharal, what's the difference between Aluf and Nasi? An Aluf, as the Chazal tell us, is a Melech. The reason why Yishmol is not counted as one of the Golios is because to be a Golos, as counted in Daniel, you have to have Malchus. Each one of the four animals in Daniel represents another one of the Malchiyos that Klal Yisrael was subjugated to. And when we talk about Malchus, we talk about the animals of Malchus as a Mashal. But whether it be Edom or Paras or Yavon or Modai, each one was a Malchus, it was an Aluf. It had Chashivus to it. Yishmol, no matter how high they rise, no matter how far they come, no matter how dominant they are in the world, they're always a para Odom. They never play by the rules. Their existence is an existence of avoiding any type of social contract, even in Milchama. When it comes to Esav, when it comes to everything else, there are rules, there are certain limits, there are red lines that won't be crossed because we're dealing with two societies, two Malchiyos. When it comes to Yishmol, says the Maharal, there are no rules. They live like nomads. Their society is a nomadic society. There's no rules of war. There's no rules of anything. Whatever you want goes. There's no malchus, and that's what makes them so dangerous. It's a para hidden, disguised in an odom. It's a para odom. The fact that they're not a malchus is gufo what makes them so dangerous. And this is why they're not counted as one of the Dalit Galuyas. Because at the end of the day, they're totally nishma. The fact that they don't have Esav, they don't live in this world, limits them. They have tremendous emunah. They have tremendous faith. They have tremendous, tremendous commitment to their theology and their philosophy. But it remains in the head. They're not able to fully bring it out to fruition. And when they try to bring it out to fruition, you could see it's lacking. It's barbaric. It's animalistic. It's disorganized. So they're very limited when that hatred, when that sinna comes out to fruition. They'll do things that no one else will do. They'll behave in ways that no other nation will behave. But they don't have the organization. They don't have the respect of a melech. So what do they do, Yishmol? If they are going to be hakosha shebekul. And here, Rabbi, say we come to what I believe for us in Tavshin Pei Dalet, perhaps the most important pasuk in the Torah. Vayelech Esav el Yishmol, vayikach es mochlas bas Yishmol ben Avram achos nivoyus. A pasuk that again, seemingly in previously years, we wouldn't pay too much attention to. Vayelech Esav el Yishmol, vayikach es mochlas bas Yishmol. In previous years, my question on this pasuk is, why do we need to know this? But there's something even more bothersome about this pasuk. That we learn something out very, very important from this pasuk. Something surprisingly important from a seemingly benign and insignificant pasuk, if there could be such a thing. Something that we know well before we even know this pasuk, we know what we learn out of this pasuk. Rashi tells us it's from this pasuk that we know that Yaakov Avinu was Nistam B'Yeshivas Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years. The Torah never says it. Tell your kids when you come home. They'll say, how you talking? How did the Torah not know? Everyone knows Yaakov was in Shem Ve'Ever. Where do we know this from? Take a look. Rashi Al HaTorah. Vayelech Esav El Yishmol. We don't have time to go through the whole calculation. From this pasuk, vayelech Esav el Yishmol, vayikach es bachlas bas Yishmol, something seemingly entirely insignificant, we learn out not only that Yaakov was in Shem Ve'ever, that becomes our entire approach to how to approach Galus.
Wouldn't it have been simpler for the Torah to say, Vayelech Yaakov L'Shem Ve'ever? This is the place where the Torah insinuates hints to it. Rabbi Isai, what does Yishmael do when they need to finish the job, Rachmana Litzlan, and they realize they're limited? They're kuloi nishma, and they have lo nasa. They can't implement what they have to implement in this oilom hamais. They team up with their cousins, Esav. Now, Esav and Yishmael really are enemies, because Yishmael believes firmly in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Esav and Amalek want to remove the Rabbeinu Shalom from this world. So they themselves should be enemies. But they'll team up to destroy their common enemy. Yishmael needs a malchus to do their dirty work. Excuse me if I may be so bold. I think this is what we're living through. The rise in anti-Semitism. If anyone has the stomach to listen to a UN hearing, it is giving Yishmael a stage in a court where societies, normal human beings, are supposed to sit. This is the malchus that they're using to advance their agenda. And every day when I pass a huge billboard that says, America, don't be naive, Hamas is your problem too, I think of this Rashi. What does this billboard mean? This billboard means they hate you as much as they hate us. Why would you defend them? Why would it be that at the height of sophistication in our country, these people are finding meaning in the flight of Hamas and the Palestinians? How does that make any sense? They would do the same thing to you. But they have a common enemy. Esav and Yishmael team up. This is not my chiddush. The Malbim says this throughout Tanakh. Yechezkel, Zechariah, time and time again. Achris Hayomim, Yishmael will use the malchus of Esav. The same way in the time of Purim, Yishmael, Paras, they couldn't get the job done on their own. Who did they bring in to get the job done? Esav, Haman. They can't get the job done on their own. But they're not afraid to team up with their enemies to destroy Kal Yisrael. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael vayikach es mochlas bas Yishmael. The union of Esav and Yishmael is the union that ultimately will be the challenge for Kal Yisrael. Because Yishmael has his emunah, and no longer Rachmana Litzlan. No longer is he limited by the fact that he's not a malchus. Because there's been another malchus that's willing to take up the cause. Yaakov Avinu says, when this happens, Rabbi Isai, there's only one answer. Nistam. The yeshiva shame ve'ever. There's only one approach. Nistam li yeshiva shame ve'ever. Rabbi Isai, this is what we are living through. The comfort is that the Malbim hundreds of years ago told us this would happen. The scary part is that it's happening. But we have to remember, if we don't have the zuchus in fighting in Eretz Yisrael, we're not making ourselves feel good by saying, oh, we could give them zuchuyos. This is not zuchuyos. This is the battlefield. This is how we attack Yishmael. This is how we defend ourselves. Yishmakel v'ya'aneh. Of course, the battle has to take place. No one's comparing. the sacrifices they're making on the front lines. Who knows? No one stands in those in the places in Olam Haba that those people stand. But to view our role as secondary, as something almost insignificant, does us a tremendous disservice. It's not to make us feel good. It's to make us feel an achrayus, to make us feel a responsibility, to make us feel that yes, a whole night, 4 hours can't go by, I can't waste it, because I'm on a battlefield. I'm fighting a war. And if we could avoid that feeling of achrayus, that feeling of responsibility, if there's not a weight on our shoulders every minute of the day to make sure that we are being productive in this battle, we're doing something awfully wrong. Yishmael and Esav have joined forces. The only response is Nistan b'yeshiva shem ve'ever. There's no time to waste. There's no time. Just like a soldier on a battlefield doesn't have time to let his guard down, there's no time to let your guard down. There's time for one thing. Yishma kel v'yane. To cry out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, to be nistam in yeshiva shem ve'ever. With that, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see the kiyum of the pasuk. Yishma kel v'yane. We'll see, as the Malbim says, the story ends, no doubt it will. Esav and Yishmael join forces. Vayitzmach, and from there sprouts forth Mashiach ben David b'mheir b'yameinu.